From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. The release of the Paradise Papers by the International Consortium of Investigative Journalists has great relevance for U.S. politics and the Republican Party's tax reform bill. The trove of more than 13 million documents from the secretive Bermuda-based firm Appleby reveals just how major corporations stash their money offshore in havens like Bermuda, Netherlands, Ireland, and more. These are the very corporations that would benefit most from Trump's tax bill. While the GOP wants to pass its tax reform bill by Thanksgiving, revelations in the Paradise Papers offer important lessons for lawmakers who want to permanently lower the corporate tax rate to 20% and apply a very low rate to repatriated offshore profits. In its analysis of the Paradise Papers, the ICIJ has singled out the Apple Corporation in particular as one of the world's greatest tax evaders, a company that would also arguably be the biggest beneficiary of the GOP tax bill. My guest is Richard Phillips. He's a senior policy analyst at the Institute on Taxation and Economic Policy. Welcome to the program, Richard.
I'm glad to be here.
So at a time when there are waiting lines for the iPhone X, I don't think many Americans are thinking about just how Apple takes the money that it makes from them and pays very, very little taxes on them. What did you learn from the Paradise Papers about Apple and its dealings? Your organization has been studying Apple and been actually calling out how it stores hundreds of billions of dollars of profits off. Sure. Did you learn anything new?
I think we learned a lot of new things. So in 2013, the Senate Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations actually did a pretty exhaustive study on Apple. So we actually knew a lot more about Apple than we know about a lot of other multinational companies. But since that time, we haven't really had a good update on how Apple has responded to different changes in the international system and, frankly, responded to increased scrutiny. And so what the Paradise Paper shows is that they have really engaged in a kind of rearranging of their strategy such that they can continue to avoid paying taxes and what they thought would be in a way that would bring less attention to them and be less obviously just bad or less obviously egregious.
So the Apple CEO Tim Cook, I believe it was in 2013, made a very clear statement to Congress when he spoke about exactly what it was that Apple does with its profits. He said, "We pay all the taxes we owe, every single dollar. We do not depend on tax gimmicks. We do not stash money on some Caribbean island." This is Tim Cook of Apple in 2013 in Washington, D.C. But right after that, right, it was that Ireland changed the way that and lowered dramatically its tax rates. And the Paradise Papers and the International Consortium of Investigative Journalists show the way in which Apple immediately started to move more and more and more of its money offshore after that statement was made, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first, even just going back to the statement, he may potentially be able to claim that nothing that they're doing was illegal, but the idea they weren't engaging in a tax gimmick is actually absolutely ridiculous. The European Commission found in their major report that Apple had more than $100 billion that it was reporting to its Irish subsidiaries, on which it had paid a tax rate of 0.005%.
Wow.
So the fact that you can make $100 billion and pay nothing on it, that's definitely a tax gimmick, but maybe it is a legal one. Although the European Commission found that the fact that Ireland was granting them such a massive tax break was actually illegal under EU trade law. So there is some question as to whether or not there's something illegal or something that is going to change about that. And they may actually end up paying $14 billion back that they should have been paying all along. So going back to kind of the Paradise Papers, is what we've kind of seen is that they kind of, since he made those statements, they kind of had to adjust their strategy. So Ireland, kind of bowing to international pressure, slightly changed its laws so that companies in Ireland have to at least have tax residency somewhere. I think the most dramatic moment in the hearing was when Carl Levin, the senator who was leading the hearing, asks Apple's chief financial officer, well, are you tax resident anywhere? And they admitted that they were tax resident nowhere, and that these money was just kind of floating out there without actually being taxed anywhere. And so this change in the Irish law would have required that at least they had to declare that tax be paid somewhere. And under this new arrangement, it appears that they decided, well, we're going to say that our tax residence is in the Isle of Jersey, which is a tax haven.
The Island of Jersey, not to be confused with New Jersey in the United States. The Island of Jersey is an island in the Channel Islands is basically the place that Apple is claiming it's a tax resident. What was interesting about what the ICIJ pointed out was that you have these countries that are a teeny tiny percentage of the world's are home to a teeny tiny percentage of the world's population and are basically home to hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars of money that they choose to not tax. It's quite amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we actually just put out a study on Sunday using really recent IRS data that found that US companies report 61% of their foreign profits into offshore tax havens. And one of the really striking findings, and that just shows that even in official statistics, it's absolutely absurd, is that U.S. companies report 17 times Bermuda's GDP in profits in Bermuda. So Bermuda has just a few billion dollars in GDP, and the U.S. companies are reporting billions and millions more of that, which is obviously impossible. So I think that you can just see that they're not reporting the profits where they're actually earned.
The other thing that came out of the Paradise Papers was how Apple likes to keep its reputation intact. A lot of these tech companies want to be seen as, you know, playing a role in the global good, using technology to connect people and foster democracy. Meanwhile, a letter from Applebee, not to be confused with Apple Corporation, Applebee is the firm whose documents were released. A letter shows that they were quite aware of Apple's sensitivity concerning publicity about where they stash their offshore profits. I wonder how Apple has reacted, if at all, since the release of these papers.
So what we've seen so far, and they may be reacting even as we're speaking, but what we've seen so far is basically them saying what they said in 2013, which is that they follow all the laws, that these aren't really gimmicks, and that they, you know, shouldn't be expected to pay more than they owe. And I think this is also gets to sort of a broader thing that, my group works on, is that we think that there should be sort of broader international transparency on these issues anyway. So rather than waiting for one of these leaks to expose what Apple's doing and how they're stashing profits, we think that companies, especially major public corporations, should be saying where they, how much profits they have in every country and how much they're paying in taxes in every country.
So now let's talk about what the GOP tax reform bill is proposing. I mean, it's a huge bill, 429 pages long. So we are going to focus in, and we've been doing a lot of coverage of it, but we're going to focus in just on the corporate tax issues in this. One thing that the reform bill wants to do is simply slash permanently the nominal tax rate from 35% to 20%, and lawmakers and Donald Trump argue that 35% is, you know, among the highest rates in the world, and that's why American companies, you know, push their push their profits offshore, because we just tax them far too much. So they want to slash it to 20%, but they don't actually pay 35% now, do they?
No, absolutely not. And this has been one of the areas of study that ITEP has done. And so we had a report earlier in the year that found that while the statutory rate is 35%, the average effective rate is closer to 21% for Fortune 500 companies overall. And what we also found is that lots of corporations are paying zero. So you have companies like General Electric in many years who are paying zero. And then also you have companies like Apple, in a separate report with them, we found that have these huge swaths of income offshore that they're not paying anything on. So we think it's a little ridiculous to say that the US has the highest rate when, in fact, when you actually look at the effective rate, which is what's really important, it's much lower.
So you would say that slashing the corporate tax rate to 20%, would it have any effect, or, you know, no effect on corporations, because already they're taking advantage, especially the major corporations are already taking advantage of so many loopholes?
Well, so I think it would have be a huge windfall for the corporations, because the problem is so ideally under a tax reform plan, what you could do is you could close enough loopholes and then lower the rate and it'd be about even. But what this plan does is it closes a couple tiny loopholes, opens up a few bigger loopholes, and still cuts the rate. So it's really just a big gift to them. In terms of the competitiveness point, we think that it's not really going to be very helpful, because corporations, whether it's 20% or 15% or 35%, they're still going to have an incentive to move their profits into a 0% tax haven. So you can't really compete with a tax haven as long as you're allowing companies to do that, because they pay zero there.
So you can't go much lower than 0%, basically. What about this idea of a tax holiday? That if we, so one of the other things that the GOP is doing is they're saying, yes, we get it that offshore tax havens are a problem and that money should be here in the United States. So we're going to give an incentive to corporations by applying an extremely low rate if they just one time, if they simply agree to, and that for any funds that they decide voluntarily to bring back into the United States. Explain what this repatriation tax holiday is and whether you think it would actually work.
So right now, corporations, or at least Fortune 500 corporations, have about $2.6 trillion in profits they haven't paid taxes on that they book offshore. And so what the policy does is it says that if that it requires companies to pay taxes on that money. And so currently, if a company has to bring it back, they have to pay 35% minus the foreign taxes they've already paid. Under this plan, they just have to pay about 12%, or in some cases as low as 5%. So the way we look at it, right now corporations owe about $750 billion. Under a 12 and the hybrid 12.5%, the Joint Committee on Taxation says that they would owe about just over $200 billion. So together we see this as really a $500 billion tax break to these companies. And looking at Apple specifically, they have about $250 billion offshore. And on this plan, they would actually get about a benefit of $50 billion in taxes, which we think is kind of ridiculous. You could use Apple's $50 billion to pay for all kinds of critical programs and investments that we need.
Hmm. Now, in the report that your organization released in October, Offshore Shell Games, you compare Apple to other corporations. Where does Apple stand in how much money it stores offshore?
So Apple is the number one tax avoider in terms of offshore tax avoidance. They have, as I said, $250 billion offshore. The next closest is Pfizer, which has about $200 billion. And then from there, it really just drops down. Microsoft has about 130, and then it just keeps going down. So these couple of corporations are really driving the amount here. And that you have five corporations that have about a quarter of this money, and you have about 30 companies that have three quarters of the money.
So when Congress, when I should say Republicans in Congress, say they want to pass this tax reform bill and do it fast, and that they're rewarding job creators, helping bring offshore profits back, essentially, it looks like what they're doing is rewarding those corporations that the Paradise Papers and other documents show are the worst tax evaders. Aren't they rewarding tax evasion?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that that's one of the bad signals of this is if you do more tax avoidance, then you get a bigger reward. And I think that the claim that this will create jobs has kind of been proven disproven. So we did a similar thing with the repatriation holiday or with the tax break, bringing the money back in 2004. And a subsequent study showed that those companies that took the biggest advantage of that holiday actually were the ones who cut the most jobs, because they got to take the money and then they used it to reinvest in offshoring and outsourcing.
Wait, so let's repeat that again. The ones that got the biggest benefit cut the most jobs.
Yeah, because and it's because a lot of these large multinational corporations are the ones who are pulling jobs out of the United States. So having more access to capital just means that they make more and bigger investments offshore.
So what should Congress do, if Congress actually wanted to reform our tax policies, because everybody agrees that our tax system has, you know, is far too complicated. They disagree on where the problems lie. You and I would agree that there are far too many loopholes for corporations. What would you advise for the GOP to put into their tax reform bill that would actually help create jobs and help refill the treasury of the United States government of all of the money that's essentially been stolen from our coffers, from the public coffers, by these corporations?
Sure. So I think there's kind of two immediate pieces of this. Is one, force the corporations not to pay a lower rate on these accumulated earnings, but rather require them to pay the full rate that they owe. And I think going forward, what we would say is that companies should no longer be allowed to defer paying taxes on their foreign profits. They should pay the same tax rate and at the same time as they pay on their domestic profits. Why should we allow multinational corporations to pay a far lower rate than we expect of domestic corporations? That just doesn't make any sense. And so if you were to enact both of those things, you'd raise hundreds of billions of dollars that we could use to actually invest in infrastructure, invest in different things, and create jobs and make our economy more competitive.
And just to emphasize, it's a big chunk of the Fortune 500 companies that are the most egregious tax evaders. Whenever you hear the GOP talk about helping out businesses and mom and pop businesses, entrepreneurs, they effectively mean these big corporations, but it's the little corporations, are the small businesses, don't have the resources to stash their money offshore, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this bill really doesn't do very much for real small businesses. I mean, on a different part of the policy, they make all kinds of claims about creating a lower rate for small businesses. But the reality is it wouldn't affect 80%, 90% of real small businesses. It would affect those larger businesses that are not organized as public companies. And so I think this idea that this would help small businesses is ridiculous. And in fact, we think it hurts small business, because it actually gives multinational corporations an advantage when they're competing with small businesses in different areas.
So finally, Richard, you and I would like to think that the release of the Paradise Papers is yet another very strong piece of evidence about how corporations are taking advantage of the tax system and moving money offshore, and should really be a deterrent to this sort of tax reform. But the question is, will lawmakers pay any heed? Are you even seeing good enough media coverage outside of those newspapers that were directly involved in analyzing the Paradise Papers?
I think there has been a pretty substantial amount of coverage of this, but I think you're right that right now, at least in Congress, which is the most important constituency in deciding this, they are not hearing as much from the public and from the media. Who they're hearing from is those corporate lobbyists who are making these demands. So my hope is that at least outside of Washington, the public will make their voices heard and really push on this issue. And there are definitely some lawmakers, like Representative Lloyd Doggett, who actually called for an investigation into the Paradise Papers and asked for at least even a delay in consideration of the bill so that we can investigate all this new information.
So one member of Congress who's seeing the links between the Paradise Papers and the tax reform bill. Richard, give out a website for the Institute on Taxation and Economic Policy.
Sure. It's IETP or ITEP.org.
And we'll post a link to that from our site. Richard, thanks so much.
All right. Thank you.
My guest has been Richard Phillips. He's a senior policy analyst at the Institute on Taxation and Economic Policy. And we've been discussing how the Paradise Papers show that the GOP tax reform bill would simply reward tax evaders. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.